Text, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries presents Crown Media Productions. At home, a woman types on a laptop.
Cherry Springs. The kind of place that's frozen in time. Friendly and familiar faces on every corner. I came back to find comfort in that familiarity. But beneath the facade of a peaceful life lies a darkness. It seems even the quaintest of towns hide big secrets. And the truth? Well, that's something I just couldn't run away from.
At night, a man drives a red sports car on a dark road. He nervously peers into his rearview mirror at the silver car behind him. No other cars are on the road. The man's red car gets a flat tire. He pulls to the side of a road lined with trees, his face tense. On the roadside, darkness shields the car. The man parks. On the road, the silver car speeds past. The man in the red car watches the silver car pass by. Then, he shuts his eyes. Suddenly, lights flood into the man's car. His eyes widen. With a grimace, he flees from the car. Headlights glow as a vehicle chases him. The man dashes toward the woods. Text, Redemption in Cherry Springs. In the daytime, the woman walks a dog.
Okay, come on, let's take a little walk. Hey, Uncle Joe. Need any help?
No, I think that's it. I got the cake in the car. We all set.
You still calling it the cake after all these years?
What's wrong with that?
Well, it's your specialty. Give it some pizzazz. Uncle Joe's butter bunt.
No, that's a mouthful. Now, people ask for the cake, I give them the cake. I'm a simple man.
And I love you for it, Uncle Joe.
You know, I didn't think you'd stick around this long. But I am glad that you did.
Well, Mom's house isn't going to sell itself. Can you believe it's coming up on a year since she's been gone?
Yeah. I miss her every single day. You know, I could have handled this for you.
I know. I wanted to be here. Anyway, all this talk of the festival has gotten me nostalgic. I couldn't miss it.
You want to ride?
No, I'm going to stop by Rachel's and see if she needs help setting up her pet adoption tent.
Look at you. Been here for a month already. Cherry Springs, citizen of the year.
Come on, Bogey. Let's go see some friends. Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy.
Bye. Have a good day.
Hey.
Ready to head out?
Yep.
Tony's out back loading up the truck.
Rachel pets Bogey.
Hi.
Here's hoping we find some little pups a home.
Sorry. This guy's off the market.
This guy's taken, too.
Man with red car.
He asked me to be a part of the festival's eligible bachelor auction, but I turned him down.
Oh, that's a shame. Could have used that $20 you would have earned.
Thanks, honey.
I said he'd go for $5.
Wow. Kid forgets who signs his paychecks. Good to see you, Mel.
Hey.
Melanie, this is Ryan Monroe. He works at the auto body shop with me.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
What brings you out this way?
Oh, I'm just visiting my old stomping grounds. Been friends with these two forever. I'm talking pre-K.
Rachel thought you'd be back in Boston by now. I told her you can't get enough of us.
I guess I'm enjoying the R&R.
What'd you do up in Boston?
I'm an investigative reporter for the Boston Chronicle.
Exposed as crooks, fights injustice, like Lois Lane if you were Superman.
Always knew she was going places.
Speaking of going places, let's get a move on.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Outside, kids toss coins in a fountain. Sign, Twyla Birch Community Center Inaugural Festival. A crowd gathers.
Thank you all for coming today to celebrate the opening of the Twyla Birch Community Center. Yes!
Ooh. A man cuts a ribbon.
Oh, yay! A beautiful center like this deserves a beautiful celebration. And our vendors and our volunteers have really brought out their best this year for our inaugural festival. Let's give it up for them!
Nearby, a dog adoption booth.
That's right, that's right. Ooh. Now, I have volunteered on the committee to make this center a reality for the past 3 years. And I can say that no one has worked harder to bring us here than one man. It is my honor to introduce to you a beloved member of Cherry Springs, Mr. Dan Birch. Oh,
thank you, Diana, for that warm introduction.
It was my late wife Twyla's dying wish that we build a place where our entire community can gather and celebrate the spirit of Cherry Springs. So please sign up, get your memberships, because just in a few days, we're going to be offering an assortment of classes at the Twyla Center Gym. And after your workout, after Pilates, you can enjoy a run around the track or even a swim in the indoor pool. Thank you all for coming. And let's make this a really special community. Thank you.
Mel and Rachel smile as they applaud.
Wow, Diana was really born to be behind that microphone.
As a speaker, yes. As a singer, not so much.
Oh, I still have PTSD from her karaoke party last year in Vegas. Oh, heads up, we've got a customer.
Can I?
Yeah. Go ahead, sure.
Sorry, he loses his ability to form sentences when he sees dogs.
Well, if you're interested in adopting.
Oh, no. I've got enough to handle.
Come on, please, Dad.
The boy pets Bogey. Rachel grins.
That's Bogey.
How old is he?
He's 8.
That's 56 in dog years.
Wow, that's some quick math.
Smart guy, like his old man.
Mention old man, and I shall appear.
I don't mind if I do.
Oh, see, you've met my niece.
So this is the hotshot reporter you talk about all the time.
Well, huh? Sounds about right. The part about Joe talking too much, at least.
Well, his baking makes up for it.
Well, you got that right. I'm Melanie Abrams.
Jake Collins.
I'm just a sucker who lost a bet.
A bet? You lose every one.
No, Jake and I, we get together time to time and watch the games. Mm. They're friendly wagers.
Well, it looks like he pays you your winnings in baked goods.
I ain't complaining.
Dad, can we play that bottle toss game? I bet I could beat you.
You're on. It was nice meeting you.
Likewise.
We on tomorrow, Joe?
Oh, you know it. Hey, and I feel like my luck is taking a turn. You'll see.
Famous last words.
Jake smiles, then walks away. Melanie turns to Joe.
Quite the bromance you two have. The way you described Jake, I was expecting someone more mature.
Oh, hush up. You're not the only one with cool friends.
Oh, speaking of cool friends.
Hey, Joe.
Hey.
So you met Cherry Springs' hottest bachelor.
What's his story?
Moved here about a year ago from New York.
Can't trust those big city types.
He is a detective. Don't know much else other than he got those new traffic cams installed in town.
Bringing Cherry Springs out of the dark ages.
Mm-hmm.
Diana grins. In a coffee truck, a barista smiles.
Mel!
Hey!
Hey, Sarah!
Congrats on your big book deal. Your uncle was telling me all about it.
You got a book deal? That Fall River factory piece really made you a hot commodity.
Yeah, more like a hot mess. I haven't decided. I'm not exactly in the right headspace to write a book. I should be congratulating you. I heard you're going to be parked here full-time at the center. That's big business.
Thanks. I'm just working on saving up money. I'm trying to earn enough to lease a space inside the center.
I am more than happy to contribute to that dream of yours. 2 lattes, please.
Coming right up.
Diana grins.
Is that Detective Dominic?
Great speech up there.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, this is Melanie, my childhood friend. Mel, this is Dominic. Or should I say Detective Peters? Heard about the promotion?
Thank you very much. Nice to meet you, Melanie.
Likewise.
Here you go. Oh,
thank you.
Thank you.
Their coffee is ready.
Enjoy the day, ladies.
You too.
Bye.
So cute.
Okay, why are you denying your fans a book? Over a decade of righting wrongs, the spotlight suits you.
For every fan I've made, I've made enemies too, trust me.
Okay, well, if anyone tries anything, I got your back.
Oh, I bet you do. I've seen those biceps of yours.
Girl, mom strength, it's no joke.
I don't want to take care of her. Of course, that's what she wants.
You asked her?
Yes.
What's that?
Tony, I'm exhausted. I don't know what else to do.
Okay, it's our mother we're talking about here.
The burden has been on me, so don't pretend like you suddenly care.
Come on.
I have customers. I don't have time for this.
Tony follows Sarah. Mel and Diana notice their argument, then head to the festival.
Hey, Melanie! Oh, I'm so glad you could stick around for the event.
Oh, I couldn't miss it. The center is such a beautiful tribute to your wife. Oh. Her journalism class was an inspiration. I owe her my career.
Twyla taught a lot of students over the years, but you were always her favorite.
Yeah, I thought I was her favorite.
No, you were a troublemaker. Rachel, too. As a matter of fact, the three of you together are always up to no good.
Guilty as charged.
Nah, only thing we're guilty of is having a good time.
Mm-hmm. I requested our song. Let's dance.
Oh, I will dance circles around you. Wait, who's watching my kids?
Oh, no worries. Uncle Joe's got him.
Okay. Bye.
They wave to Dan Birch. At night, Melanie stands in the foyer of her house with Bogey. She unclips the dog's leash, then hangs up her purse. Melanie pushes aside curtains. Outside, a van drives away. In a memory, a man scowls at her.
You regret looking into the Fall River factory.
What's gonna happen to all those workers who've lost their jobs?
You got justice, but at what cost?
Melanie remembers a brick tossed through her window. Attached to the brick, she finds a note. Melanie unfolds the note. A handwritten message reads, "You took everything. Was it worth it?" In the present, Melanie's doorknob turns. Joe smiles.
Knock, knock. I got keys, remember?
Yes.
I brought you leftovers.
Oh.
Come on.
Thank you.
Ooh, you were dancing up a storm out there with Diana and Rachel today. You know, it was like you never left at all.
Maybe I never should have. I could have been here with Mom more, making memories instead of mistakes.
Your mom loved you more than anybody. Now, she framed every one of those articles you ever wrote. I got no wall space at the diner.
Well, not every one of those stories has a happy ending, Uncle Joe.
Is there something you want to tell me about it?
It's nothing.
Look, I'm no fancy investigative reporter, but it doesn't take Sherlock to figure that something is not quite right. One, you're in no rush to sell this place. Two, you hardly packed any of your mom's stuff. And three, every time I see you, you're ignoring a phone call from the publishing company.
The last thing I need is more pressure and more deadlines. I'm fine, I promise. Just tired is all.
Okay. If you ever need to talk about anything, I'm right across the street.
Melanie grins at Joe. In the daytime, Jake and his son climb out of their SUV.
Hey there, Boston.
Bogey!
Bogey, is that your buddy? Game day at my uncle's, I take it.
That's right. Any excuse for grown men to eat fried foods and take turns napping.
Sounds like my kind of Sunday.
Uncle Joe tells me you're selling.
No bites yet. I think Uncle Joe mowing the lawn shirtless across the street scares folks off.
You know, if I could arrest him for that, I would. I think he's just trying to make you stick around.
Well, he doesn't need me. He's got his sports buddy now.
Yeah. But if Lucas had it his way, we'd still be in New York.
What brings you out here? Not often a high-ranking detective relocates across four states.
Who said I was high-ranking?
You carry yourself like someone who's a bit above the average inspector rank. I'd say sergeant.
Wow. See those investigative skills at work, huh? Is that why they pay you the big bucks in Boston?
Mel and Jake share a smile.
Lucas, come on, man. Game's about to start.
You didn't answer my question. Why Cherry Springs?
Oh, I don't know. It just seemed like a good place to plant some roots when New York stopped feeling like home.
Jake smiles. As Mel watches him go, she nods.
Ready, man?
She smiles to herself. Sign, Patel, and Wilkes Auto Repair.
Hello, hello. Guess who's here? I come bearing gifts.
Is that Melanie Abrams I hear?
Andy, long time no see.
Yeah, come around here way too long, if you ask me. I haven't seen you since our class reunion.
I'm surprised you remember that night. We actually had to carry you out of there.
Can I say, I dragged Tony under the table, and then wound up right under that table with him.
Speaking of, Tony around?
Oh, yeah, he's in the office. How you been, huh?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, I was real sorry to hear about your mom passing.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a hard year without her.
Well, she was a great lady. Mm-hmm. And those kitchen sink cookies she used to make for us, the best.
They were.
And I hear you're selling the house, huh?
Working on it.
Gosh, a lot of great memories growing up on that street.
Mm-hmm. We had some epic rounds of flashlight tag. All those neighborhood bike races.
Call those races? I was just trying to keep away from you and Rachel.
Well, you went from running from the ladies to running your own business.
Yeah, it's a team effort. Couldn't do it without my partner in crime. What you got in that bag?
Oh, just some food for Tony. I owe him for loaning me the car.
Your eyes are so weird. Okay, look at me and tell me that you're
not
hiding something.
Is that Rachel?
Okay, you're lying. You're lying.
Hey, everything okay?
Yeah, fine. I gotta get some air. Catch up there, Mel.
Tony walks away as Rachel steps into the garage. Mel studies Andy and Rachel's tense faces. In the evening, at Joe's diner.
Rachel was really upset. She said Tony's being invasive about phone calls he's been getting. Anytime she asks, they wind up in a fight.
Well, they've been bickering since they were prom dates. I wouldn't think too much about it.
Yeah, I guess. But Tony kind of seems on edge. You saw him arguing with his sister yesterday.
Yeah, well, he's a hothead. You know Tony.
To-go order is ready.
Thanks, Joe. I had a hankering for your onion rings, and I just couldn't shake it.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, I even threw in a couple of milkshakes for those two little cutie patooties.
Oh, you think they're cute, huh? Yeah, one sip of this, and they'll be shrieking like banshees.
In the daytime, sunlight filters through trees. Melanie jogs over a wooden footbridge. Then, she slows to a stop. Near the roadside, she notices a park van with a Massachusetts license plate. Melanie turns back in the direction she came from. She glances over her shoulder at the park van as she jogs away. In her driveway, she startles.
Easy, easy. It's me. Sorry, I tried calling.
I just, yeah, I went for a jog and left my cell at home. Everything okay?
Tony never came home last night.
What?
Yeah, after we fought, I figured he was at a bar, blowing off some steam. But then I woke up this morning and he wasn't there. I tried calling him, but his phone is shut off. So I called the police.
Is that unusual for him?
Well, he's been acting strange lately, in general, closed off. But disappearing on me, it isn't like him. I can feel in my bones something's wrong.
Okay.
Meanwhile, two teens jog toward the woods.
Come on, you gotta see this thing.
Slow down, dude!
Behind trees, the teens find Tony's red car.
There it is.
The older boy smiles as he looks over the sleek vehicle.
I don't think we should go near it. Whoever this belongs to will probably come back.
Don't be chicken, bro.
He opens the door, then peers at the leather interior of the car. Then, he reaches into the center console.
Sick! It's a roll of cash, dude.
Whoa. How much is that?
A whole lot.
With furtive glances, the teens shut the car door. Then, they run away with the money.
Andy says he hasn't seen Tony since he left work yesterday.
Do you have the Find a Friend app? It can ping his location.
His phone must be dead. It's not getting a response.
We can check in with Sarah Jane at her coffee truck or his mom.
His mother. I mean, she's been sick lately. He could be with her. This is why I needed you. You helped me think straight.
A police car speeds by. Rachel and Melanie look at each other, their faces tense. Near Tony's car, Jake meets with Dominic.
What do we got?
A jogger found the car abandoned out here on her morning run. Registered to one Tony Patel. He owns the auto repair shop on Railroad Avenue.
Yeah, I know him. He gave me a good deal on an alternator.
Yeah. Well, wherever he was headed, he was in a hurry. His tire's blown out and there's skid marks on the road.
Huh. No sign of him?
No, just his cell phone. Found it in the woods. It's a little water damaged, but should be okay.
Have you guys running for calls and texts. Let's set up a perimeter.
Will do.
Yeah.
Did you find him? Did you find Tony?
This is not a good time for press. There's no scoop if we haven't started.
I'm not here on the job. Rachel is Tony's wife.
He's missing.
I see. We're gonna get to the bottom of this.
Any leads on his whereabouts?
Not as of yet, but as soon as we know anything, I'll let you know.
Okay, thanks.
Right.
Mel rubs a tearful Rachel's shoulder as they walk away.
You know Tony better than they do. If he's out there somewhere, you gotta help me find him. Please.
In the auto repair shop's office.
When's the last time you saw Tony?
11 in the morning, I'd say. Maybe 11:30.
So Tony left the auto shop and never came back. That didn't raise any red flags.
No, not at all. Tony opens the shop, I shut it down. That's how it goes.
Any idea where Tony was off to?
He didn't say. He was in a huff. He and his wife had just gotten into a little spat.
And Rachel, she was at the shop?
Tony was being secretive lately, taking phone calls in other rooms, giving two-word responses anytime I'd ask him what was going on. I'd reached a breaking point, I guess.
And he was having one of those secret calls yesterday.
It was a text, actually. Ryan Monroe, Tony's employee at the shop.
Yeah, I was out towing a car to bring back for repair. And it was the first time Tony let me go out alone. Kind of messed it up, though. Couldn't get the cables to work quite right.
So you text Tony to help?
Yeah. Yeah, he came out, got the rig going again. I towed the car back to the shop, and that was that.
That's right, Ryan got back to the shop around 4 p.m. or so, towing a broken-down car.
Alone?
Yeah, that's right. And he finished his work, so I sent him home for the day. Caught up on some paperwork.
And Rachel? Where was she?
I was home. All night. Tony never came back. I thought maybe he went to get a drink, but...
I talked to Harry at the tap room. Tony never showed up.
Rachel's eyes fill with tears.
The last time I saw him, we had that stupid argument.
That's all for today, Mrs. Patel. We'll keep you up to date on anything we find out, all right?
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Jake shakes Rachel's hand. She fidgets as she watches him leave. A woman stands on Mel's doorstep.
Melanie Abrams. Seems you're a tough person to chase down.
You're the one who's been following me?
The van?
Not me. I've only emailed and called before now. I'm Robin Carroll from Picanole Publishing. Wanted to chat about that book deal.
Right. Sorry. I'm just a little on edge. Come on in.
Mel and Robin sit at a table with tea. A
lot of buzz about you. You've proven to have quite the keen eye during your time at the Chronicle.
Buzz isn't always a good thing.
Been a fan for years.
I appreciate your kind words, but I'm not sure I have any hot gossip for you. I've taken a leave of absence from the Chronicle, and it's company policy that I never reveal my source.
Oh, I'm not asking you to. I just want to hear your version of what happened at that factory in Massachusetts.
I'm sorry, I'm just not interested.
I'm sorry to hear that. You have my info, if you change your mind.
Mel stares at Robin's business card. In the evening, at Joe's Diner.
Something's been weighing on me all day. I should have told you last night, but I didn't think it was any of my business. But now, Tony's MIA, and I...
It's okay, talk to me.
I saw Tony with another woman.
Mel knits her brows.
Wait, what?
I was driving through town square a few weeks ago. This driver was too busy making eyes with his passenger to notice that the light had turned red. Just drove straight through it, almost hit me. And then I saw... It was Tony. And a woman in his passenger seat that was definitely not Rachel.
Are you sure it was him?
It was him. Yeah, I didn't tell Rachel yet, but I know what I saw.
Okay, you should go to the police.
Thought we could go together?
Oh, I don't know if I should be getting wrapped up in this.
Okay, it's your call, but you in or out?
Then, at the police station.
So you recognize Tony, but not the woman?
Yeah, I just know it wasn't Rachel.
And Rachel, does she...
I haven't told her. Figured we'd come to you first. Yeah.
Hmm.
Hey, what if they faked Tony's disappearance and then they ran off together?
You watch too much crime TV.
Fair point. I do a lot of late-night binging.
Diana remembers seeing them the week of the 15th. She also mentioned to me that you're responsible for helping install traffic cams in town?
That's right.
Well, I figured if we can use the traffic cam footage to narrow down our search window and find her...
I'm sorry, we? I'll take a look at the traffic cam footage. Thanks for the heads up.
Jake smiles.
So that's it? I'm sorry, I thought we were going to maybe check out the footage. You know, crack the case, save the day.
Jake stares.
Too much crime TV? Copy that.
Look, I know you two are friends with Rachel and you mean well. But I have this covered, okay?
Well, okay.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
As Dominic arrives, Mel lingers in the hall.
Hey.
Hi.
So I pulled the calendar off Tony's phone like you asked. We got lucky, the SD card was fine. I made a list of his whereabouts in the days leading up to his disappearance, and it looks like he trains with a personal trainer at Springs Boxing every Thursday at 3.
At Springs.
I just need a minute of your time.
Look, you're not a client here, so I can't help you out.
Please, this is important.
Your 10 a.m. just called in sick.
I'll take it.
Your what?
You heard me. I'm just a client in need of some training.
At the station.
Hey, Dom, I'm taking a look at this. Managed to track down that traffic cam footage of Tony.
Well, those two certainly look cozy.
You don't recognize her?
No, but, could be she's not from around here. I could look into it.
Wherever she is, Tony could be right there beside her. And I aim to find out.
In the footage, the woman rests her head on Tony at Springs.
Not too shabby.
Mailboxes.
Seeing as I, don't require much training, maybe you can use the time to tell me what you know about Tony Patel?
You don't quit. Look, Tony boxed here. He started showing up late, and then he stopped showing up about a month ago.
Any idea why?
Don't know. He paid for all his sessions, so I didn't ask any questions.
Jake walks into the gym.
You gotta be kidding me.
Oh, hi there.
Why are you here?
Training session. Too fit to quit.
So you just happened to be at this gym?
Small town. Not exactly gym-appropriate attire.
You know why I'm here?
Lats, quads. Oh, is it leg day? By the way, I was having a little chat here with my trainer, Jim.
It's Ruben.
Yeah, he was telling me that Tony stopped coming about a month ago.
Okay, so where was he on Thursdays, 3 to 4 p.m. then?
Somewhere he felt the need to lie about.
Would he happen to have a locker here, by chance? And who are you? I don't see a badge, okay? Never mind. That's a badge. Follow me.
Mel removes boxing gloves.
Any luck with that traffic cam footage?
Seeing as you clearly have a habit of eavesdropping on police matters, I'm gonna go with no comment.
Oh, come on. You didn't even have to break a sweat. I saved you time here.
I find you mentally exhausting. Does that count as a workout?
I get it. All my brilliant ideas blowing your mind. Hard to keep up.
Something like that.
The gym clerk opens a locker.
There you go. All yours.
Ah, thank you.
Mel and Jake peer in. Jake grabs a backpack.
Try the side pocket. Oh. Perfect for stuffing trash into, particularly random receipts.
Okay. Oh, here's one for Thursday, March 11th at 3 p.m.
Right around the time he's usually here for his weekly session.
Looks like he was at a place called Smoothie Criminal.
That's a juice place in town.
Terrible name.
Great juice, though. I could really use one right about now.
I'm not gonna get rid of you, am I?
At Smoothie Criminal.
Good afternoon. I'm Detective Jay Collins from the Cherry Springs Police Department. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Happy to help, detectives.
Oh, she's not a detective.
Right, just a customer. Yeah. You know, my friend Tony recommended this place to me. Do you know him?
Yeah, Tony, sweet guy, great tipper. Came here like clockwork.
Did he seem out of sorts?
You know, he did seem kind of sad lately.
Sad. Do you recognize this woman here in the photo with Tony?
So you did get that traffic cam footage. I got that info for him. We're kind of a team.
Yeah, actually, she and Tony, they'd come in at the same time, and then sometimes they'd leave together.
So you have security cameras?
Yeah, the whole block. So dentist's office, bookstore, coffee shop, they're all in the same system.
Can you point us towards the security office?
Yeah, absolutely.
What she means is, can you point me to the security office?
Sure. It'll be on your right at the end of the block.
End of the block?
Yep.
Thank you.
Hey, you want to get this?
Thanks.
Mel snaps a photo of the photo.
You mentioned there was a bookstore on the block?
Yep, it's right over there.
Thanks.
Mel smiles at the smoothie shop employee, then leaves. In the bookstore, Mel holds her phone. As she slowly walks, she studies the faces of the customers and staff. In an aisle, she spots the woman from the traffic cam.
Bingo.
Near the woman, Mel raises her phone to her ear.
Thank you so much, officer. That's right, Tony Patel. Praying we can find him. Okay, bye.
Excuse me. Sorry, didn't mean to eavesdrop.
Did you say Tony Patel is missing?
Do you know him?
We're friends.
My name's Melanie.
I'm Emily.
I've been friends with Tony and his wife, Rachel, since we were kids. Do you know Rachel?
I'm afraid I don't.
Oh, she's really worried. We all are. Do you have any idea where he might be?
Emily knits her brows. Meanwhile, at security.
I'm sorry, Detective, but I can't give you access to that footage without a search warrant.
You gotta be kidding me.
Jake sees Mel on a security cam.
When you two saw each other, what did you chat about?
It's kind of private, actually.
Any information you have could help me track him down.
Melanie, what do you think you're doing?
Ah, Detective Collins. Emily here is a friend of Tony's.
Yeah, makes sense. From the looks of things, you two were pretty close.
Emily looks down.
He wanted me to keep things between us.
So there was something between you?
I just mean he wanted me to keep things quiet about his diagnosis. Tony, he has pancreatic cancer. He didn't want anyone to know. I feel bad saying anything. Our support group urged him to tell his family, especially his wife. I see how that photo looks. I get it. But Tony was just giving me a ride home. I'd gotten some bad news that day. I was in remission and found out my cancer was back.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I needed a friend. Nothing more.
Was there anything else weighing on Tony, besides his diagnosis?
Financial security for Rachel, in case anything happened. But a few weeks ago, he seemed in a better mood. Said he figured something out.
Later, Mel and Jake walk on a sidewalk.
How did you know to find her in that bookstore? She could have been anywhere.
In the traffic cam photo, there was a book on the dashboard. The only books Tony ever reads is the sports section. Smoothie gal mentioned a bookstore in the building. Took a shot.
Heck of a shot. Kind of like the snapshot you illegally took of police evidence.
Mel stares Jake down.
I found Emily because I know Tony. And because I'm good at this. Admit it, you could use my help.
I certainly could use your help on the next stop.
Yeah, where's that?
To see your friend Rachel.
He claps her on the shoulder, then walks away. At Barking Lot Dog Daycare, Mel holds Rachel's hand. Rachel stares.
How could he not tell me he was sick?
Well, you know, Tony, he could break a leg and he'd try to walk it off. He didn't want to worry you.
I wonder if Sarah Jane and his mother know about his cancer.
Emily said he didn't tell anyone.
Rachel blinks rapidly.
So, that's it then? He was sick and decided to call it quits? No goodbye letter, just goodbye?
He can still be out there.
That's right. You can't lose hope. I'm gonna do everything in my power to track Tony down. And you got a good friend here looking out for you.
I could use some company. The house feels so empty without Tony there.
How about I invite Diana to stay over too?
Like old times? Sounds nice.
Later, Rachel, Mel, and Diana enter Rachel's house.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
I know. Okay, I'm gonna make popcorn, and make a movie, and then it's good.
In the living room, torn pillows and other belongings litter the floor.
Go outside. Both of you call the police.
Are you sure?
Just go. Go.
As Mel pulls pepper spray from her purse, Rachel and Diana hurry toward the door. Mel holds up the spray.
Who's there?
A man in a hoodie knocks Mel over as he flees. She winces as she lands on the floor. After the break-in at Rachel's house.
None of my jewelry is missing, and all of our electronics are still here.
What were they looking for?
Looks like the perp cut themselves on the way in. You know, I'll have it tested and see if they're in the system.
Mel turns to Jake.
Can I talk to you for a sec?
Sure.
Excuse us.
Diana rubs Rachel's back as they step away.
Okay, this is totally just a hunch.
Not the best way to start.
Just hear me out. Tony told his friend Emily that he figured out how to take care of Rachel in case the worst happened.
That's right.
Maybe whatever this perp was looking for is the reason Tony suddenly solved his money problems.
So, what, you think Tony had something valuable here?
And maybe someone was desperate to get whatever it was back.
Hey, Jake.
Someone called the station asking for you? We got a tip from a guy who said his son found something in Tony Patel's abandoned car.
Outside, Jake meets with the family.
I was with my friend near the road by Springwoods, and we saw a car just, like, out there. Just left there or something.
Why didn't you report it?
I don't know.
All right. Go on. Give him what you took.
The father eyes his son sternly. The teen reaches into his pocket and pulls out a wallet.
Oh.
Jake counts money.
Let's see what we got here. $1,900. That's something weird about that number to you. What are you, my math teacher?
Hey.
Jake points to the teen's basketball jersey.
You play ball?
Starting guard. The Cherry Spring Bulldogs.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Bulldogs, you guys got a game tonight, right? Man, it'd be a shame if you had to miss it. I mean, if I had to call you back in for questioning. You know.
The boy looks at his dad.
Oh, don't look at me, I'm on his side.
The teen shakes his head, then hands Jake more money.
Hey, 2,000. Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, officer.
At the station.
All right, who am I looking at?
That would be William Dixon, the man who robbed Rachel's house.
Not bad, Dom. Breaking records with that speed. How'd you manage that?
Gotta love vigilant neighbors and their doorbell cameras. I got a good shot of this guy breaking in and was able to match him to a mugshot in our system. Pretty hefty rap sheet, too. Our boys are trying to locate him now.
Well, good work.
What do you got there?
Oh, those kids. Found that in Tony's car.
Think it could be some of that mystery money Tony suddenly came into?
Not sure. Tony's got priors from a few years ago. Maybe worth a check-in with our friend's advice, you know, see if there's any bus with bills that are a match.
Can I tag along?
Sure thing.
Outside an examination room.
What, he's lawyered up and isn't talking?
Yep. But I got something. Turns out this guy attended a reform school for troubled youth. Wanna know who else attended? Ryan Monroe.
Tony's employee at the repair shop?
That's the one. Wanna know what else? Ryan has a juvenile record.
Then it's sealed.
Ryan doesn't know that. You know the man in this photo?
At the auto shop, Ryan studies the photo.
Sort of. Yeah, Billy went to my school, but we weren't friends or anything.
Any idea what he was looking for at Rachel's?
How should I know?
Andy places a hand on Ryan's shoulder.
We booked Mr. Dixon on breaking and entering. He's not the only one.
Yeah. I got a record, so what?
He stole some parts from the shop a few years ago. He was just a kid.
Oh, so you took car parts from your employers?
Yeah. And Tony stole an entire car when he was my age, and he didn't end up a criminal?
He stole those parts before he was ever working for us.
Why'd you hire him?
Because they're good guys who do nice things for people.
Tony arranged with the court so that Ryan could work here as part of his probation.
So, you didn't want to be here?
Maybe not at first. But I do now.
So Tony and Andy don't press charges, and you end up working for them. Is that right?
These guys saved my life. These guys gave me a shot when no one could care less.
He's come a long way.
So you had nothing to do with the break-in at Rachel's or Tony's disappearance?
I swear.
You swear.
Mel carries her purse out of her house. She locks the door, then strides across the driveway toward her car. She unlocks the car with her remote key. Then, she pauses with her hand on the door. Across the street, she spots the van with a Massachusetts plate. Mel runs down the driveway. She raises her phone and snaps a photo of the van as it speeds away. Mel resizes the photo on her phone until the license plate is legible. She stuffs her phone in her bag, then climbs into her car. At the police station, Mel waits for Jake in the hall.
Hey.
Look, I know you're on this whole teamwork makes the dream work kick, but we had an agreement. If I find something, I will come to you.
That's not why I'm here. Okay, I think someone's following me.
She passes her phone to him.
See that?
Jake enlarges the photo, then looks up at Mel. In his office, he works on a laptop.
These plates are false. You said a van was following you. Are you into some sort of trouble?
I've definitely made some enemies over the years, that's for sure.
The Fall River factory, you mean?
I never said that.
I'm a detective. You piqued my interest, so I did some digging.
Internet stalker, huh?
Curious as to why an award-winning journalist at the peak of her career suddenly calls it quits.
Less of a peak and more of a cliff went over the edge.
So Cherry Springs is the bottom, then?
If being on the bottom means being under the radar, then so be it.
Look, if you're into some trouble, I can look into things further. It's no problem.
No, it's fine. Don't go worrying about me. The focus should be on finding Tony.
Huh? You let me know if you change your mind. You know where to find me.
I thought I was supposed to let you come to me.
I can bend some rules. It's the perks of being in charge.
All right.
On a duck.
Fish don't bite, the birds do sing.
Joe peers over a railing. He sets down his tackle box. Below, a lifeless body is wedged among rocks. Joe puts on his glasses. He peers down at the body. Joe's hands drop to the railing. His mouth open, he looks in all directions. Joe's gaze returns to the body on the rocks. At the crime scene near the dock, Jake walks with Dominic.
Vice just got back to me. Found a match on that roll of bills those kids found in that car.
That right?
Yeah, could very well be that dirty money tied to that drug bust about a month ago.
The coroner carries a covered body.
What did Tony get himself into?
In Mel's kitchen, she picks up her phone.
Hey, Uncle Joe, I'm actually making some chili.
Sorry,
you want me to bring
you? Sorry to cut you off, sweetheart. I've been with the police all day. I've got some bad news. It's Tony. I found his body.
Tears fill Mel's eyes. She covers her mouth with her hand. At the station.
Cause of death, gunshot wound to the back, no sign of the murder weapon.
So whoever did it tossed him into the river. And now that we know Tony's official time of death was between 7 and 9 p.m., clears William Dixon.
The guy who broke into Rachel's house? He have an alibi?
Yeah, solid. He was at the River Rock Casino. They sent over the timestamp security footage.
At least we got him for the B&E.
Yeah. Dixon might not have killed Tony, but that break-in and Tony's murder are related. We just gotta figure out how.
At Rachel's house, Mel hugs Rachel.
I wish there was something better to say than I'm sorry.
There are no right words.
You being here is enough.
I have to get back to the station. But if you need anything, please don't hesitate to call.
Thank you, Jake.
You guys take care of each other.
Jake passes Diana on his way out.
Hey, Jake.
Hi.
Hey, sweetie. Hey, I hope you don't mind I let myself in. I made a lasagna. 30 pounds of carbs just for you. Hey. Oh, honey. Hey.
Rachel stands up to hug Diana.
Come on.
As Diana leads Rachel out of the living room, Mel sits on a couch with Andy. She leans on her hands, then studies his face.
You okay?
As okay as it can be. I keep checking my phone, thinking any second Tony will send me some silly meme.
He shakes his head.
Thank you for taking care of Rachel. She told me you've been putting extra time at the doggy daycare, too.
Yeah, whatever we can do, right?
Mm-hmm. Hey, where's Sarah Jane? I called to tell her we'd all be here.
Hey, Tony and his sister have been on the outs the past few months.
Yeah, I heard them arguing at the festival about their mother.
Yeah. They had their hands full taking care of her and trying to run businesses.
It's definitely stressful.
Yeah. I mean, they took it out on each other, but I mean, I can't imagine she'd ever hurt Tony.
No. I just wish she wasn't MIA for Rachel during all this.
No kidding.
Mel nods glumly. Then, her eyes narrow. At the coffee truck, Sarah leans on the counter.
Hey, Melanie. What can I get you?
Well, we just missed you at Rachel's earlier. Just wanted to check on you.
I appreciate that. I'm just trying to focus on work, because if I dwell on it for a second, I'll break down.
I'm so sorry.
And Mom is a wreck. She's already got enough health issues as it is.
Tonya told me she was making some progress.
Sarah looks down.
Not enough. We need to sell Mom's house and move her into a nursing home, but Tony thought differently.
I get it. I'm in the process of having to sell my childhood home. It's not easy. Lots of memories.
True. But you'd be amazed at what real estate goes for these days. You could sell for 3 times what your parents paid for it.
So now when you go to sell your mother's house, the profit's all yours?
Sarah knits her brows.
I better get back to my customers.
Sarah watches Mel leave. She turns to a customer.
Hi.
A nurse.
So you said you're Tony and Sarah Jane's cousin?
Yes. I'm in for the funeral. Thought I'd just drop in and say hello to Aunt V. Thanks for the tea.
Oh, it's no trouble. Mrs. Patel should be up from her nap soon. It's terrible what happened to Tony. He was so sweet to his mother. He visited all the time.
Yeah, Sarah Jane actually mentioned wanting to move her to a nursing home.
I think that's the plan.
Do you think she needs to be moved?
In her current state, yes. But it's a shame. If you'd asked me a couple weeks ago, I'd say she was fine.
How strange. A rapid decline, huh?
Like somebody flipped a switch. Forgetting things, extreme anger. I thought it could possibly be a side effect of her medication.
Right. Sarah Jane mentioned a prescription that was doing wonders for Aunt V. What was it called? Something hard to pronounce.
Memantine.
That's it. And you've been keeping up with it?
Sarah Jane administers all her meds. I'm just with Mrs. Patel in the afternoons.
Oh.
Mel smiles, then sips tea from a mug. At the Cherry Springs Pharmacy, Mel looks at a photo of Tony, Mrs. Patel, and Rachel on her phone.
Hi, I need to pick up my mom's memantine prescription. Name is Vera Patel. Date of birth is 4/23/50.
Please verify the address.
27 Fairdale Road.
The pharmacist types.
We called you to pick up this prescription weeks ago.
I'm sorry, things have been unusually hectic lately.
It's very dangerous to stop taking that medication abruptly.
Mom has been acting differently lately. Are violent outbursts and memory loss side effects?
Yes, it's very common with Alzheimer's patients stopping memantine. I'll fill it for you now.
Thank you.
Mel's smile fades. At Jake's house, he studies his case files. A text from Mel reads, "I think I've got something for you." Mel joins him.
So you think Tony is getting in the way of Sarah Jane's career aspirations?
She wants to open a coffee shop inside the Twilight Center. She told me herself. Selling her mom's house gives her the money to fund it.
I gotta say, this is good.
Never thought I'd hear you say that.
No, I mean, your uncle's fries. But yeah, this is a solid lead.
She glares, smiling.
How's Rachel doing?
Oh, she's, keeping her head up. I don't know how she does it.
He looks toward the counter.
It ain't easy, that's for sure.
I'm gathering you know from personal experience. A friend on the forest back in the Big Apple.
My wife.
Mm. She shakes her head.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have.
No, it's fine. I mean, we were assigned partners. Real competitive. You know, first I was hot on her heels, then head over heels. First came love, and then came Lucas. Yeah.
He looks away with a sad smile.
But New York is a city that doesn't play nice. We knew what we were doing was dangerous. But we figured, you know, hey, we'll move somewhere safe for Lucas. But before we could, the liquor store shootout and, straight bullet caught her. Yeah.
I'm so sorry, Jake.
You know, after she died, everywhere I looked just reminded me of her. So I figured, you know, hey, come to a new place.
Well, it doesn't get easier, just different.
That's right. Look, I know I'm giving you a hard time, and I'm sorry. I just don't want anyone else getting hurt on my watch.
I appreciate it, but I can take care of myself.
As Mel smiles, Jake's eyes search her face.
You sound like Shay.
Mel raises her eyes to Jake's. then offers a small smile.
Okay, let's press reset. So, whoever trashed Rachel's house was looking for something valuable.
Right, something Tony had to provide for Rachel after he died.
So, we searched the house, we searched the auto shop, doggy daycare, and Tony's car.
What? What is it?
I talked to this kid. He said he found some cash in Tony's car. I need to take another look at that GTO.
Jake examines the car while another officer holds bags.
You can take that to forensics, yeah. There's got to be some secret compartment. False bottom, something we missed.
Man, I'd love to drive a car like this someday.
Huh. Well, stick to the task at hand and maybe you will, young grasshopper.
Dominic continues to examine the trunk. Jake walks to the driver's side door. He leans inside and studies the leather seats. Jake looks from the driver's seat to the passenger's seat and back again.
Dom, come take a look at this.
Dom stands next to Jake and peers into the car.
Does the stitching on the passenger seat look a different color than on the driver's side?
I mean, maybe slightly, but it's an old car. Sun might have faded it.
Well, because it's a different thread, because one of the seats has been opened. Stitch back up.
Jake slices open the driver's seat with a razor. He finds money in the headrest.
Whoa. Would you look at that? What's he doing with this kind of cash?
My guess is this is Tony's insurance plan he had hidden away for his wife.
Jake holds up cash. Sarah sits in an interrogation room. Jake brings in a money bag.
What is all that?
You tell me.
He sits across from her.
Found it in your brother's car, over 100K.
I have no idea.
I think you found out about Tony's stash, got him out of the way, then you hired somebody to toss his house looking for the cash.
I didn't kill my brother. I love Tony.
Hmm. What about your mom? You love her?
Of course.
She knits her brows.
Well, yeah.
He pulls a pill bottle from his pocket.
Withholding medication. That don't sound like love to me.
Should I get a lawyer or something?
I don't know. Should you?
He studies her.
I've been putting in long hours at the coffee truck and forgot to pick it up, okay?
I don't buy it. I think you sabotaged your mother's health to sell her house for your own gain. So, my question is, what would you be willing to do to your brother, Tony, to get your hands on that cash?
I know nothing about that money. And even if I had the money, I wouldn't lease a space from the Twyla Center now.
Why that?
Danbridge said the center isn't off to a hot start financially, so I'm holding off.
Well, you know, not opening a coffee shop doesn't exactly exonerate you.
Can I please go now?
You can go. But don't make too many plans, Miss Patel.
Sarah looks away and fidgets with her hands. At the Twyla Birch Community Center, mourners gather for Tony's funeral. Andy walks to a podium in front of the seated crowd.
Thank you, everyone, for coming. And thank you to Dan Birch for hosting us here. Tony was my best friend. And he was the most generous person that I've ever known. He wanted the shirt off his back, you just ask him for it. I didn't know the first thing about cars till I met him. But he had this infectious enthusiasm for everything that he loved. His wife Rachel knows what I'm talking about. And I can tell you without any doubt that he loved you more than anything in this world.
Andy and Rachel blink back tears. Sarah sits next to Rachel, her face stony. A photo display reads, "Thank you. There are not enough words to fully express our heartfelt thanks for your thoughtfulness, sympathy and support." The family of Tony Patel, Mel closes a funeral program. At home, she opens the program for her mother's funeral. Joe smiles as he notices Mel holding the program. He lowers himself onto the couch.
Hey. I miss her too.
It's like I can feel her with me in this house.
She blinks back tears as she looks at Joe.
There's no rush to sell. I mean, would it be so bad to stay a bit?
I admit, it is tempting sometimes.
She smiles.
It wouldn't have to be here. Although, of course, that would be my first choice. I would just love to see you settle somewhere where you could be happy. Call someplace home. You know, the dinner rush is calling.
They share a playful handshake and fist bump, then smile. Mm-hmm. Joe stands up, then heads toward the door. Mm-hmm. Mel reaches for her phone and raises it to her ear.
Hey, Diana, what's up?
Her brows raise.
You don't say.
At the diner.
This is the deed signed by Mrs. Patel. Diana knows her realtor. And this is Mrs. Patel's signature on a tax document from last year that Rachel got for me. The signatures don't match.
How can you be?
You see those tiny dots? Often the forger will pause to refer back to the original signature and then press down on the paper when they begin the stroke again, causing these ink blots there.
Where'd you learn that?
Research for an article I wrote about a forged letter at a museum.
Huh. So Sarah Jane forges her mother's signature and takes ownership of the house. But she's not opening the coffee shop, so why the need for the fast cash?
She's not?
She told me Dan Burt said the center's in the red, so it's not worth her while.
Really? Because Dan told Diana that he'd pay for all of Tony's funeral costs.
Why would he volunteer to do that when the center is in financial trouble?
Very strange, especially for two men who weren't close.
You make a big show of your generosity because you're feeling guilty or redirecting focus.
If Dan and Tony were into something, that's probably why they wanted Sarah Jane out of the center, so she wouldn't get a whiff of whatever they had going on.
I'm gonna track down Dan, see what's what. But I like where your head's at.
Like peanut butter and chocolate, the two of us.
I wouldn't go that far.
In an office, Dan meets with Jake.
Sarah Jane must be confused. I mean, like any new business, we've had our growing pains, but we're doing fine.
Hmm. Then why tell her she couldn't move her coffee shop into the center?
I don't mean to be rude, but Sarah Jane's not the most reliable person. I think at best she stick to operating her truck outside in the warmer months.
Said you, paid for Tony's, funeral expenses. Pretty generous for a guy you barely knew, huh?
Tony came to me a while back asking if the center made charitable contributions to individuals for cancer treatment. Unfortunately, we don't.
Anyone else know about this visit?
No. Tony wanted to keep his diagnosis private. I felt horrible about turning him away, so I paid for everything out of my own pocket. It was the least I could do.
What were you on April 17th, between 7 and 9 p.m.?
About the night Tony was murdered?
Jake raises his brows, then gives a nonchalant shrug.
Let's see.
Dan checks his phone.
I was at dinner with Maureen Silver. She serves on the board of the center.
Do you have a receipt?
I'm sure my secretary filed it.
Jake reaches for his phone with his eyes still on Dan. He checks it, then heads out.
Thank you. Yeah.
Hello, Detective Collins. This is Estelle Bradley.
Yes.
I'm the Patel's real estate agent returning your call.
Yeah, thanks for getting back to me. I was wondering, could you tell me the day and the time Sarah Jane was in your office?
Sure. Give me just a moment. Actually, we signed the property. Miss Patel asked that we meet after work on Sunday the 17th.
Mm.
I arrived just before 7, and we finished up around 8:45.
9, okay. And you were with them the whole time?
I did step away to take a call. I was gone 5, maybe 10 minutes.
Hmm.
At the station.
So Sarah Jane was forging documents during Tony's time of death. Her alibi's clean.
I'll keep pressing Dan Birch. Right now, he's our only person of interest.
Rachel's.
I found some old photos in the back of Tony's closet. Look at you guys in your football jerseys.
Rach, can I keep some of these? I'd love to frame them for the shop.
Rachel forces a smile.
Yeah, of course. Whatever you want. We're all here for you. You know that.
Rachel sits up straighter. Later, Melanie drives her car. A traffic light turns yellow, then red. Mel presses her brake. The car continues to move.
What?
Mel frantically presses on her brakes. At the intersection, she narrowly misses hitting other cars. She grips the steering wheel, then braces for a crash. At a hospital, Melanie reclines in a bed.
Look, Uncle Joe, don't worry. I'm fine. Just a minor concussion and some bruises.
Joe gazes down at her.
I think it's best you let Jake take care of things from now on.
But what about Rachel? She's my friend.
Exactly. And she'd want you to be alive.
He strokes her hand.
Look, with your mother gone, you're the only family that I have left.
I'm sorry to worry you. I promise to be careful, okay?
Yeah, look. It's been a long day. I think I'm gonna go ahead and take a walk. I'll be back.
Hi. Oh, you two are sight for sore eyes. I think I gave him a scare.
We were all so worried. Thank goodness you're okay.
Yeah, I'm very lucky.
What happened?
My brakes, they just gave out.
That doesn't make any sense. I mean, Tony would never let you borrow an unsafe car.
I had a tow to the shop. Andy will sort it out. I'm just waiting for my discharge papers.
You think someone tampered with your car? We should tell the cops.
So let's not jump to conclusions.
I don't know, Mel. She might be right.
Look, I appreciate you both looking out for me, really. But whatever it is, I'll handle it.
At the auto repair shop, Jake stands in the garage. Mel walks in.
What are you doing here?
Rachel told me about the accident. Why didn't you call me?
I wanted to get more information first. It's nothing.
It's not nothing. This is the exact thing I was afraid might happen. You get caught up in Tony's investigation, and you put yourself in harm's way.
Well, if I was actually targeted, all the more reason to find Tony's killer fast.
Mel.
Andy and Ryan step through a door.
We just finished inspecting your car, and it looks like somebody tampered with your brakes.
How can you be sure?
Car had a complete workup before Tony gave it to you.
Yeah, I changed the brake pads myself, but it looks like someone cut through the brake lines. And not completely, though, because you didn't notice when you started the car.
Well, whoever did it was smart, Dan. They gambled the line would snap first time you hit the brakes. I'm gonna need that paperwork from the full workup before it was loaned to Melanie, as well as what you inspected today.
Yeah, of course.
I'm opening up a full investigation. No arguing.
Mel's face tenses. Later, at a restaurant.
Okay, you clear with the plan?
I cannot believe you suckered me into this.
It's for Rachel.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Dan! Fancy seeing you here.
Hello, ladies. Hi.
Hi.
I heard the fried clam lunch special was amazing. I had to try it for myself.
Yes, it is. No, I come here once a week for my cheat meal. So.
Okay.
You guys want to join me?
Oh, sure. Love to.
Awesome.
Great.
Remember the Cherry Springs production of West Side Story?
Oh, no.
What?
No.
You were great opposite Krupke.
No. My granddaughter, though, she's been bitten by the theater bug. She starred as Annie last fall.
That is wonderful. Let me see.
Thank you. Okay, good. Yes. About time you asked.
Okay,
yes,
let's see. Course. Let's see.
They watch Dan enter his pin.
Okay, hang on one second.
Oh, Sadie is so grown up. I remember when she was born.
You know what goes really well with fried clams? Key lime pie. Mm. Who wants to go halvesies?
You know, no cheat meal's complete without dessert.
Yeah, none for me. I've gone a little overboard lately.
All right, you and me. Let's go.
Come on, kiddo.
As Dan and Diana leave the table, Mel snatches Dan's phone. She uses Syncit phone cloner to copy the contents of Dan's phone to her own. The cloning process continues as Dan and Diana return with desserts.
Come on.
Oh,
my.
Oh, hey.
Okay, no problem. I'll just get some napkins. Hang on.
Almost there.
How long does it take to go on the phone?
Dan returns to wipe up water.
Okay. Hey. Here we go. Let's get this cleaned up.
Yeah. Here you go. I managed to save it before the deluge.
Oh, thank you. All right, let's eat.
Oh, I love this.
At Joe's Diner, Melanie sits at the counter. She stares at her phone and reads text between Dan and his assistant, Cindy.
Waiting on an important call?
Something like that.
You promised me you would let Jake handle things.
I know. Okay, I keep thinking that if I can help find Tony's killer, if I can give Rachel justice, then maybe I can redeem myself in some small way.
Oh, honey.
Mel looks down.
Tell me what happened in Fall River.
You mean what wasn't published?
That's right. As far as I can see, warning people about a factory abusing its workers is a good thing.
I wanted the front page. So my editor let me hold the story. That week, a factory worker died.
It's exactly what your article was about. Negligence and poor working conditions.
Yes. But had I published the article sooner, he might still be alive.
She rubs her forehead.
Your aim was to help people. You gotta cut yourself some slack.
I thought that article would actually force the owner to improve conditions, but he just closed down the factory and moved it abroad.
We all go through life doing the best we can with the information that we have at the time.
All those poor people in Fall River out of work.
Look at me.
She raises her eyes to his.
Yes. They all need new jobs. But at least they're alive to do it. Thanks to you.
I hope someday I can see it like you do.
Mel knits her brows. A text from an unknown number reads, "Cops talked to me today. You need to fix this ASAP."
Uncle Joe, can I borrow your car?
He hands her his keys.
Be careful.
Thank you. Jake, meet me at Dan Birch's house right now. I'll tell you when we get there. Just hurry.
Jake and Mel arrive at the house.
Oh, why is that door open like that? That's strange.
Jake peers inside and reaches for his gun.
Stay here.
With his weapon drawn, he slowly enters the house. Jake points the gun and walks deeper into the house. Melanie steps into the doorway. She pauses, then follows Jake. Slowly, Mel walks toward the kitchen.
Chest. Confirming the victim as homeowner Dan Birch.
Nearby, Dan's body slumps on a love seat. Jake pulls his jacket tighter. Mel raises a hand to cover her mouth.
Dan's laptop is password protected, so we'll take it to the station and have cyber crimes work on it.
Great. Run Dan's personal financials also.
Yeah, you got it.
In the kitchen, Mel fidgets with her hands. Jake turns to her.
You okay?
I will be. Guess it's just hitting me.
It's a lot. Take all the time you need.
We found Dan Birch's cell.
Yeah.
Jake swipes at the phone.
Password is 2356.
I don't even want to know how you know that.
I looked over his shoulder.
Kind of like you're doing now?
And I cloned his phone.
Cloning a phone is illegal.
Let's call it questionable. I already know the rules. I deleted the app. There. I saw that text.
Cops talked to me today. You need to fix this ASAP.
Can you trace that number?
He knits his brows.
I don't know. I don't recognize the area code. It's probably from a burner phone. It's untraceable.
He continues to search the phone. He holds it up for Mel.
Still think Ryan Monroe is innocent?
A text reads, "The Monroe kid is getting greedy. I think it's time to cut him out."
Look, I've been here for almost 2 hours. I'm starving. Can I at least get water or something?
Later.
In an interrogation room.
I'm gonna tell you something. Dan sent a text saying you were getting greedy. And they want to cut you out.
I'm not the only guy in town with the last name Monroe.
Don't play games with me. Cut you out of what? What'd y'all have going on?
I have no idea. I barely knew the guy. The first time I talked to him was at Tony's memorial service.
So you don't know Dan Birch? And you don't know William Dixon, who's awaiting trial for breaking into Rachel's house?
Good. I'm glad you caught him. Looks like sometimes you can do your job well.
Jake stares Ryan down.
You hiding something from me?
No, I'm not.
Ryan walks downstairs. Mel stands up.
What are you doing here?
Figured Jake wouldn't have enough to charge you with and you'd be released.
Exactly. Because I didn't do anything.
I think so, too. The only way to clear your name is to figure out who's trying to throw you under the bus. I know you don't know me very well, but would you be willing to sit down and talk?
Jake's office.
Dom, come in here and look at this.
Yeah.
Cyber was able to get into Dan Birch's laptop. Take a look. A few months ago, Dan Birch was close to declaring bankruptcy, had 3 personal credit cards maxed out.
Okay.
Now, last week, right before Tony's disappearance, Dan Birch paid out all his debts in giant lump sum payments.
Not only that, he's got a pretty hefty sum in his checking.
Dan Birch was laundering money through fake accounts at the center.
Whoa. But why? And for who?
I don't know. But the money found in Tony's car was scrubbed clean by none other than Dan Birch.
And you're sure Dan never came into the shop? Tony never mentioned doing any business with him?
No. And nothing.
In a diner booth, Ryan sits with Mel.
I really miss Tony. The garage isn't the same without him around.
How's it been working with Andy?
He's great, too. You know, they're both real generous, and Andy's been letting me leave early, but still gives me a full day's pay, so...
That's nice of him.
Yeah. The shop would be swimming in cash if it wasn't for all the family and friends discounts they give out.
I'm guessing those freebies are left off the books.
Pretty sure.
Do you know any of the other customers that they loan cars out to recently?
No, that's Andy's thing. Yeah, the cars are gone for a week or two at a time. The cars come back. Andy services them.
If you were gonna hide something in a car, where might you stash it?
Behind the AC vent, or inside the spare tire. Yeah, or if you want to get real clever with it, you can make a secret compartment onto a car part, like a muffler or something.
Yeah.
Not that I have any personal experience in that.
Mel shakes her head.
Why?
Oh, just curious. You know what? You stay and finish whatever meal that is. It's something I gotta look into.
Mel leaves. Meanwhile.
So I was going over the River Rock Casino security footage. Thought I'd spot Ryan with William, catch Ryan in a lie.
And did you?
No, but I found something even more interesting.
Dom and Jake watch footage.
That's Dan Birch.
And there's William Dixon, who we know was involved in a local drug gang. The only reason why an upstanding citizen would get involved in cleaning money for a local drug gang is greed or desperation.
Yeah, and based on Dan's finances, we know it's the latter.
I bet the farm our boy Dan was a gambling addict. That's where all his money went. The River Rock Casino.
You know, Dan never did alibi out. He could be Tony's killer. But then who killed Dan?
Jake answers his phone.
Yeah. Okay, we'll be right there. That was a corner. Just finished Dan's autopsy. Let's go.
Jake and Dom leave the office. At the auto shop, Melanie rests her hand on a door. She crouches down, then slips a hairpin out of her hair. Mel carefully inserts the hairpin into the lock, then turns it to the left. She stands and slowly opens the door. In the doorway, she carries a flashlight. Mel shuts the door behind her. She slowly creeps into the garage and searches with her flashlight. The beam illuminates shelves of tools and mechanics equipment. Melanie continues to creep across the garage with her flashlight. In front of a tall, metal shelving unit, she stops. Mel searches the shelves. She peers into a length metal pipe, then puts it down. Then, she lifts a rag from a box. She rests the flashlight on a shelf and uses both hands to pull a muffler from the box. Mel grips a pipe on the end of the muffler. She jiggles the pipe, then yanks it away from the muffler. Pill baggies tumble out. She snatches them from the floor, staring. Suddenly, the garage lights flick on.
Melanie?
Andy.
How'd you get in here?
He spots the pills.
What is that?
Looks to me like drugs.
Ah, Tony. I knew he was desperate for money to leave behind for Rachel, but do you think he...
Dan Birch is dead.
What? How?
Someone shot him.
So he was involved with Tony? Who was Ryan involved?
The police seem to think so.
This is crazy.
Well, it certainly is. You know, before Dan died, he texted with someone about Ryan.
Who?
The police don't know. It was to a burner phone.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Andy shakes his head. He presses his lips into a thin line. Mel dials her phone. Andy shuts his eyes.
Ryan mentioned you've been letting him leave work early. Made me wonder what was going on here after he left.
Andy aims a gun at Mel. Meanwhile, at the coroner's.
COD for Dan Birch is 9:07 p.m.
9:07. That's awfully exact.
Well, he had a pacemaker. The thing recorded his very last heartbeat.
Dominic, the last text that Dan Birch sent, the one that incriminated Ryan, was 9:12.
Well, that certainly complicates things, since dead men don't text.
We gotta run, Doc. Thanks.
In the garage.
Why couldn't you just mind your own business, Mel?
You were running drugs through the shop. You killed Dan Birch, and you killed Tony.
I didn't kill him, okay? I swear I didn't kill him.
Okay, then put the gun down. Okay, just tell me what happened.
Andy lowers the gun and stares with wide eyes.
A couple of guys approached me, offered me a lot of money. It's supposed to be easy. Bring in cars with these special mufflers, I remove them, I get the drugs out, I reinstall the mufflers. That's it.
Why would you get involved with something illegal when you have so much going on for you at the shop?
Because I wanted something of my own. My name might be on that sign out front, but this place was Tony's.
I thought you were best friends.
I know.
Tears fill Andy's eyes.
And I love that guy like a brother, but Tony called the shots, and I'd had enough. So I thought if I could just make some quick cash, I could finally open up a place of my own.
How did Dan get involved?
We needed somebody to clean the cash. So he ran it through the toilet center.
Why would he agree to do that?
Because Dan's a gambling addict, and he's up to his ears in debt. It wasn't hard to convince him. And everything was working out fine. And then Dan got greedy, and he took bigger risks, and we got in way over our heads.
So what happened?
Tony happened. He found a bunch of cash and he wanted answers. I tried to explain it to him. When that didn't work, I tried to cut him in. He told me I had 1 week to stop the operation or he'd tell the cops.
But Tony kept the money for Rachel.
How do you know that?
The police found it sewn into the seat of his car?
Yeah, I looked everywhere for it. Because I knew if I couldn't come up with that cash, I'd be on the hook.
So you sent William Dixon to break into Rachel's house? And you cut my brakes because you knew I was getting close to the truth.
No, that wasn't me. I swear, Mel, I had nothing to do with that.
Okay, so Dan killed Tony, the drug dealers killed Dan, and you framed Ryan.
I found Dan's body after the dealers killed him, and I sent that text. Ryan's a good kid, okay? But I was desperate.
Okay, Andy, look. You made some bad choices, but you don't have... Listen, you can turn this around, okay? Just give me the gun. I can help you.
You said it yourself. I made a mess, and now I gotta clean it up.
Talk to me, Andy, okay? It doesn't have to end with one of us getting hurt, okay?
Ryan sneaks in behind Andy.
I'm sorry, Mel.
Ryan hits Andy's back with a tire iron. As the men grapple, the gun fires. Ryan disarms Andy. The gun slides across the garage floor. Andy throws Ryan to the ground. As Andy swings the tire iron, Mel slugs Andy in the jaw. She scoops up the gun and aims at Andy. He clutches the tire iron with a wild gleam in his eye. Mel glances at Ryan.
I thought I told you to finish eating your pancakes.
I suspected the same thing you did. I lost my appetite.
Please, show me your hands!
Dom and Jake rush into the garage.
Thanks for coming.
She lowers the gun.
You okay?
I will be. It's a little shaky.
You have the right to remain silent.
How'd you figure it out?
Oh, something Ryan told me, because I know how to get people to open up to me.
Now, what you did was extremely dangerous. You don't listen. But you're a good investigator. And a good friend.
They look into each other's eyes.
Thank you.
Jake nods. While Dom arrests Andy, Jake puts his hand on Mel's back and leads her toward the door. Jake and Lucas bring Mel flowers.
Oh, hi. Hello.
These are for you.
Aw, they're beautiful.
I picked them out.
That's so sweet.
Jake and Lucas step inside. Mel and her friends gather at the dining table.
There's something I want to say, and I can't wait. On the list of things that Tony loved most, his shop was only second to me. So, Ryan, I want you to take over. Tony would be so happy that it lives on. What do you think?
Ryan grins.
Yes. Yeah, of course. Wow. Thank you, Rachel. I won't let you down.
Tony would be really proud of you. To Ryan.
To Tony.
Rachel nods.
To Tony.
To Tony. Tony.
Good. Everyone toasts.
Actually, I have my own good news to share. I called my publisher this morning, and I've decided to write about my experience in Fall River.
Yes!
And I figured what better place to write a book than surrounded by all the people that I love.
Oh, so you're staying? Yeah.
Oh. Yes!
Oh. Yes! Yes. Yeah. Yes! Yes!
Later, Mel and Jake stand outside.
So, I looked into it, and the day your brakes were cut, Andy and Ryan were 5 hours away picking up car parts.
So he was telling the truth.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we'll get to the bottom of this. But in the meantime, just be careful.
I will. Thank you.
All right.
They smile and look into each other's eyes.
Lucas, tell Boba you'll see him soon.
Bye, Boba.
See ya.
Bye.
Melanie watches Jake and Lucas walk down the driveway. Down the street, the van with the Massachusetts plate drives away. The evening sky reflects on the river. At home, Melanie types on her laptop.
Tony's investigation proved I can't just stand on the sidelines when there's injustice at play. It's like my uncle always says, helping people is what I do. I didn't want to tell my story, but I realize I have to. So here goes.